My friends, welcome back to Cloud Wars Live. We are trying to get a handle on what is going on in the world today. We call it the digital revolution. We got multiple revolutions going on. Cloud, digital, data, AI, Gen AI. These are revolutionary times. And one of the people who always has a good handle on how these revolutionary times are going by with the different projects and keeping up on things, IT strategy, implementation, software projects, is our good friend, Bonnie Tinder, who's the founder and CEO of Raven Intelligence. Bonnie, welcome. It's always great to see you.
Bob, it's always great to see you too.
Bonnie, thanks. I got to say, the orange, you know, the polka dot there, it is great. This is, we're into the first week of spring here as we're having our chat, so I am glad to see it.
Absolutely. Representing and excited for the spring and warmer days to be here for sure.
Yeah. Where I am today, Bonnie, it's not quite that way, but I hope to, you know, be in that sort of an environment soon.
That's right.
Bonnie, as always, there's lots going on in the software space and, you know, the work you do at Raven Intelligence, which is helping to evaluate and assess the success or lack of, how software projects are going, not just with the software vendor, but also the inclusion of partners, gives you some unique insights into what's going on in that part of the industry. So tell us a little bit, Bonnie, about there's some M&A and activity and other things going on that you wanted to share. As always, some of your big insights on how business people can take best advantage of what's going on out in the market.
Yeah. Well, you know, world of HR technology this quarter, there was actually a lot of M&A activity that we saw, and not surprising. You know, things were a little bit slow in Q4 of last year in terms of, you know, transactions, but, you know, starting in January, we saw several things happening. So, you know, earlier in in January, we saw an acquisition by Ceridian with a learning and development platform called eLumi. So that was in January. In February, Workday acquired or intends to acquire a company called HiredScore, and HiredScore is an AI talent insights company. They work specifically alongside, you know, the recruiting and talent mobility area. So that happened in February. In March, ServiceNow acquired actually two organizations in sort of the HR space, Four Industry and Smart Daily Management. Both of those are, you know, connected worker solutions. And then we just saw another acquisition at Cornerstone, which is a learning management, learning experience platform. They acquired an extended reality company. The category for that is XR, I guess. And they acquired a platform called Tailspin, which is reality learning. So, you know, those devices that you have on your that look like binoculars. That is the concept there of this virtual reality and bringing that into their learning suite. So a lot of activity there. You know, we saw another thing just announced. Alight is selling off their professional services and implementation division as well. And so, you know, that's not an acquisition, but it's activity. And I think we're going to see more and more of that in particularly in the HR technology space this, you know, in the coming quarter. And we're only in, you know, we're only at the end of March here. So lots more time left for other things.
Yeah, Bonnie, that's a great roundup. And, you know, I think it really speaks to the fact that I'm sorry to lean on a cliche here, but I think it's really true these days that what got us here won't get us there. And the world is changing so fast, tech's changing so fast. The infusion of AI in so many different areas is changing the perception, and I think the expectation that customers have about what they want and require from software vendors. So it sounds like all of those companies you mentioned, there were some big ones in there, are saying we've done a good job getting up to this place, but the customer expectations are rising and we've got to adapt what we have, what we offer to be able to keep up with that. It's a wild time, isn't it?
It really is. And, you know, we've seen every single one of the major vendors. So Oracle just came out with a release that they've added 50 new generative AI capabilities to their product suite. Mm-hmm. You know, SAP also had a lot of product enhancements in this realm as well. And I think what we're seeing is that if, you know, these large software vendors can't come to market quick enough with an AI solution, you know, some of these other smaller niche innovators are going to get scooped up and brought into the suite, and it's not the last we're going to see of it. So, you know, there's this, these software vendors have a sort of a decision, do I build it or do I buy it? And sometimes buying it allows them to, you know, attach a best of breed solution right into their product set, like we saw with Workday and what they acquired, you know, with, you know, HireRight, for instance. So, but generative AI, you know, of course, that's the technology du jour.
Yeah. Bonnie, from the perspective of, you know, you gave us a very good look inside the tech industry, some of this M&A and what's going on and some of the new introductions you just mentioned. But from the business person's perspective, somebody who's evaluating, you know, a commitment to one of these companies for some things, what does this mean for those potential customers? You know, what should they be evaluating here with these changes?
Yeah. You know, it's really exciting when a company makes an announcement that, you know, they're acquiring a whole company that has a specific product. And so it's really easy if you're a customer evaluating it to look at that solution and say, oh, well, that's just going to be an immediate part of our suite. Or maybe you're a current user of a platform and you hear your vendor just acquired a new solution. You know, there's a couple of things that you should be cognizant of. And the first one is the integration between the platforms. That is really the what's going to spell the success or doom of the, you know, the acquisition is how well are the systems able to work together? And what's the plan to integrate the systems? Is it sometimes there is no plan to integrate the systems. All they're doing is unifying and bringing another company in so that there's a unified contract under a single logo. And it's not, there's no plans to, you know, have the two products speak to one another. And we've seen a lot of that too. So you want to understand what is the plan and the roadmap to integrate those products, as well as the strategy of the two companies to integrate. So are the employees going to, you know, all be, you know, one? Is there going to be a downsizing, which there usually is, you know, because a lot of employees are potentially redundant. So understanding some of those things is really critical. And the, you know, while it sounds great and you see the press release and you think, okay, great, these two organizations are now one, you know, it takes years for them to be fully integrated with one another, whether that's the product or the cultures and things like that. So, you know, it's exciting, but know that the changes are not going to happen overnight to get the two organizations working together. I've never seen a merger that just immediately it's like, oh, great, we're all one. There's usually, you know, quite a while before things are fully together.
Bonnie, do you think that in light of what you just said there about this, you know, lag time between a deal getting done and the customer being able to realize the full value of these two companies being brought together, do you think in any of the deals that you outlined at the beginning of this conversation that now these the acquiring companies, the bigger companies, are saying, hey, I'm going to pick this company specifically because their technology is very similar to ours and we'll have a shorter time to get things together? Is that becoming an important consideration?
Without a doubt. And, you know, the strategy of companies in general, with mergers and acquisitions, it's there's a variety. There are some organizations that really do not, it's sort of like not part of their DNA to do acquisitions. They like to grow organically. The bigger an organization gets, though, the less likely they're going to continue to grow organically. There's always going to be acquisitions along the way. And so Workday, years ago, never did acquisitions, but now, they're large, and it makes sense for them to do some of these acquisitions, and they certainly have the money to do so. So I think, it's knowing how a company's, what has a company's track record been with other acquisitions? How well did they do at integrating, let's say, an Adaptive Planning into the fold? And I think they did really well with that. So I think, you have to look at, okay, so what's the track record of some of these other acquisitions? And how did they do that? And that's sort of going to tell you how good they will be at a new acquisition as well. Again, there's some organizations that, are acquiring a new business, it seems like every month. Certainly like the Oracles and the SAPs, they do that all the time. And so they sort of have their onboarding strategy down pat. It's really the smaller organizations that are merging two big companies or two medium-sized organizations becoming one that are a little bit more sticky than, acquiring a smaller business and bringing it in. Generally, that's a little bit easier than, a merger of two equals.
Bonnie, the other thing that comes along with that, I imagine the customers have to be thinking now, okay, I worked with either the acquiring company or the company that's being acquired in the past. Now they're coming together. I want to be sure that I get the same level of support. I wonder what's going to happen with pricing. What do you foresee with that, Bonnie? And what should, how should customers be evaluating what they're hearing?
So it really depends on which company you're doing business with. Are you doing business with the company that is that you've had a great relationship with for years, the small organization that's now scooped up by the big one? Or are you working with a big organization that now you want to purchase services or the solution from the smaller one? So that really is going to determine sort of how things look. Typically, if you're doing business with a smaller organization and you love that service and you think they're super innovative, generally, that's going to change, right? It's going to change. It always does, right? And so, and so you have to sort of be aware of those things. Look at your contract and say, okay, so how much of my contract is now null and void as a result of it being us being acquired by somebody else? How, you got to ask the question, how is my price and contract going to change? How is my service team going to change? Because when you signed a contract, it was based upon certain parameters, and all of those things can be off the table, and you might be able to renegotiate, something, or makes sense to have your procurement department looking that over to say, okay, so how much can we lock in before all of the game changes, and now I have to sign a new contract with a new company? So that is, that you want to look at your initial contract, and what your terms of service are, because those could change. Generally, again, you're going to have more time. They're not going to overnight change everything. It's just the speed of acquisitions can't happen that quickly. But no, if you're going to renew, or your renewal is coming up, that you're likely going to have a new set of parameters that you're having to be working with.
Bonnie, in your experience and the incredible amount of data that Raven Intelligence has on these sorts of things, what, again, if I'm a customer and I see that and thinking about all those points you just made, new contractual terms, new levels of support, potentially different pricing things, uncertainty about when the two products will be got to get brought together fully. Is this a time sometimes when customers say, you know what, I like this company I was doing business with before. I wasn't crazy about them. With all this stuff going on, I think it's time for me to jump ship here. go to some different vendor. Is that a reasonable possibility for customers to consider?
Yes. So I think if things are sort of hanging in the balance and you're unsure that you're getting the value, certainly, I mean, there is that could be the catalyst to have you look elsewhere at other solutions. And certainly your vendor knows that full well, and they want to mitigate as much churn as possible during these things. And so sometimes you might get extra attention, you know, during one of these things, because they want to make sure that you're not going to leave. With that said, if your service was waning, typically a bigger company is not going to help things. What I see very often is, especially in consulting organizations, not even so much the software vendors, but in consulting, you see, let's say a particular software practice, where they have implementers that are certified in a certain practice, getting gobbled up by a larger organization, that immediately changes the tenor and the type of, complexion of the team that you're going to be assigned. And so you want to be aware that when, especially it's not even software, but your team or, a consulting party gets acquired, the culture is going to change drastically. And you want to make sure that, what you had in the past, those great relationships and all of that knowledge and partnership that was built, that isn't going to change in a new sort of model, and be aware that it very likely could.
Yeah. And Bunny, I think, maybe a particularly good indicator that so many of the software companies today in the cloud have the customer success teams. And, if you're the customer and evaluating that, a chance to chat with the customer success team, will I still have you to work with? Will the, somebody's the SLA or whatever we've set up, what determines success, is that going to change? And I think if too many of those things get tinkered with, that could be a good indication, maybe crank up the intensity a little bit on looking at alternatives. And if nothing else, you might jump over this to a different company, but you also might gain some leverage, as you were indicating here, with your current vendors about, hey, don't make my situation worse as a customer because you felt, you needed to go out and make an acquisition. That, I think those days of the tech industry, whether it's consulting companies or software companies, being able to say, hey, we're going to buy whoever we want, and yes, to you customers, it's going to make your life miserable. Tough luck. Any company that thinks that way today, I think they're in for a very rude awakening. I think customers have more of the power, and I would hope that the people listening here would recognize that and feel that, just as the software companies have, they have the right to go out and see if we can get bigger and better by making acquisitions on the customer side, you're able to exercise choice and influence as well.
Without a doubt. Without a doubt. And I think there's some organizations that are better at it than others in terms of bringing in new organizations and onboarding. The first question that we ask, because we see a lot of the M&A activity with the consulting firms, first question we ask is, how much autonomy will you continue to have, and for what period of time? Because from our perspective too, we need to understand, are they going to be able to continue on with our services? Yeah. And there, again, in the consulting world, it seems like the better organizations are the ones that they are slower and provide more autonomy to the acquired company than the ones that all of a sudden everything is, sort of like pull out the rug. We're going to immediately acquire this. You're under the new brand. There's all new decision makers here. And, it's those ones that are, moving at the speed of light that I think don't do as good a job, and customers are sort of left in the cold.
Yeah. Bonnie, can I ask you, please, one last question about that? at Raven Intelligence, you know, you've got this incredible data and insights into, you know, hundreds and hundreds of different deals. Do you have anything where a customer could look there, gain any insights on, you know, what we should be looking for in case of an acquisition of a key software vendor?
We absolutely do. So we have a lot of articles about M&A activity within some of the different software ecosystems. So we have a history to show, you know, since 2012 within the Workday partner ecosystem, what does the acquisition activity look like? And there's been a ton of it because there's been so much growth there. And so we have a sort of a list of who's been acquired by who. And it's you know, it really is sort of like a really interesting roadmap. And some of the big guys have acquired, you know, seven, eight, you know, smaller practices along the way. And so they're sort of an amalgamation of companies as opposed to, you know, some organizations that have just grown organically over time and really have kept intact sort of the integrity of the initial business. Again, there's not necessarily a right or a wrong way, but what is most important in every single one of these instances, whether the company did a lot of acquiring or whether they're just, you know, growing steadily over time, look at what customers are saying over time. See what, you know, 6 months after an acquisition, what customers are saying. You know, are they as good as they were? This world of software and implementation is dynamic. Just because somebody was great a year ago doesn't mean they're great today. And I mean, that's the whole beauty and why I wanted to start a business that had reviews is because, you know, reviews will tell the story really quick versus, you know, having to wait a year to understand, oh, well, all their customers are leaving. We get the story as it's happening.
And Bonnie, that seems so important today in the somebody was great at something a year ago, and they might still be great at it today, but that thing that they're great at might not be as high a priority for customers, you know, as they were before. Everybody's going to be asking about what about these new things? How do I bring Gen AI in? How do I handle this? What about cybersecurity? So many different things. And that's why I think the value of what you and your company offers is so important. So, Bonnie, any closing thoughts or last word that you'd offer to people about how to cope with all this stuff going on the vendor and consultant side?
Yeah. So I would say, you know, Bob, just as you said, our business and this industry is dynamic, right? The vendors and the services organizations that are adaptable and continue to keep the customer satisfaction and success at the heart of the business, those are the ones that you want to choose. And, you know, the way that you can sort of spot these things from a mile away is, what are their current customers saying about it? Because that's the proof. That is the proof that they're weathering these changes and dynamic, you know, if they're doing acquisitions, that those are actually meaning something and benefiting clients. So, voice of customer speaks volumes.
Yes, always does. It's the sweetest voice, the most authentic one too. Well, Bonnie, thanks so much. Always a treat to talk with you. This is interesting, right? And I imagine that, you know, some of our conversations over the rest of 2024 will touch on things like this, you know, the dynamic pace of change and shifting relationships, and your counsel then out to the people who are trying to deal with all this on the business side is very good. I hope we'll have a chance to keep up with this throughout the year.
Absolutely. And I know there's more changes to come, so we'll
Yeah,
keep
for sure.
everyone apprised.
All right. Well,
Thanks.
thanks again, Bonnie. And folks, thanks to all of you for being with us here at Cloud Wars Live. We've been speaking with Bonnie Tinder, founder and CEO of Raven Intelligence. We'll see you next time.